This morning's sermon is based on the gospel and the epistle readings, first of all from John chapter 3. For everyone who does wicked things hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his deeds should be exposed. But whoever does what is true comes to the light, so that it may be clearly seen that his deeds have been carried out in God. And from Ephesians chapter 2, verse 5, even when we were dead in our trespasses, he made us alive together with Christ. By grace, you have been saved. Here ends the reading. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Jesus reveals God. He is the revelation of God so that we can see God, whom we normally could not see. He's the revelation of God, and he is the revelation from God that is necessary for us for our salvation. In John's gospel, the themes of light and darkness correspond well. Anyone off the street that can read a newspaper can understand some of what St. John is saying about the themes of light and dark because they are universal. The theme of darkness has to do with death. Whenever we talk about a soul entering into the eternal night, it is a negative thing because we are saddened at the departure of a soul. Darkness and death go together. On the other hand, the theme of light always is associated with God and life. God is the one who dwells in glory. God is the source of all life. And the glory of God is so marvelous and so wondrous and so powerful that whenever it's even reflected off of an angel in Holy Scripture, it sends sinners like us into a quandary and sets us kissing the ground in fear. Light and life are from God. And yet in those universal themes of life associated with light and God and darkness with death and evil, there are some things that mankind willingly and knowingly forgets because those ultimate goals of life and death are associated with things that come before it. Death is associated in God's mind and therefore should also be in our mind. Death is associated with sin. Romans 6:23, which we learned is the wages of sin, is death. And so although many people fear death, they are not afraid at all to sin and to be sinful because they do not associate sin with death. And prior to sin, there is something even that comes before that. Before sin comes a lie and an untruth. Because all sin has its origin not in the God who speaks the truth, but in the lie of the wicked one. It was by the lie that our first parents were sold into death. It was by embracing the lie that sin resulted and death from sin. And so you see, these things need to be associated together. Christ is saying here to Nicodemus that he is in spiritual trouble because Nicodemus thinks a lie. He thinks he's not such a bad sinner. He thinks he's a pretty good sinner, and he believes the lie that a better than average righteousness is enough to get into heaven. And so he comes to Jesus with this better than average righteousness, which is a lie. And Jesus says that this dark lie must die in the light. Nicodemus, you may think that you're pretty good, but your lies and your sin must be exposed to the light in order for you to be saved. And the good news is that Christ has brought the light of the truth to us dark sinners, so that the light can dispel our darkness, so that we who are in sin and people of the lie may have the truth and the light of God in Jesus Christ, who after all says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. May we be so enlightened by Christ under these words today. when human reason judges holiness and righteousness and the goodness of human beings, reason can only observe outward behavior. Nicodemus in our gospel, according to all human reason and recognition, is unassailable. No one can accuse him of anything. He was a young man who was not wasting his youth, but using it very productively. He was respected so much by his peers that he is called in Scripture a young ruler. He has ascended to a place, a position of honor, so that people are willing to follow his advice and he can be a ruler. On top of that, he is a Pharisee, which is the most highly respected segment of that society because they know the Scripture the best. They even teach the Scripture. When it comes to acts of charity, the Pharisees acted over and above all the rest of society. And so by an outer judge of righteousness and goodness, Pharisees were the very best. And yet, when Nicodemus notices Jesus, he exhibits an even greater virtue. He loves Jesus. He realizes from talking to his fellow Pharisees that Jesus is not a popular teacher. He is failing while he, Nicodemus, is successful. And so in the cover of night, so that his fellow Pharisees can't see him go to Jesus, he goes to Jesus in order, no doubt, to help him out. Jesus, you're failing. I know the ropes. Let me tell you what to do. Jesus does not receive this. Jesus says, I'm not the failure. He says, Nicodemus, you are the failure, and you're failing even now. He says to him, you can't be the same man that you are right now. As righteous as you seem before all the world, you can't say the same person that you are and get to heaven. He says to him, no man can see heaven unless he is born again of water and the Spirit. You need to become a different person, Nicodemus, if you're ever going to get into heaven. St. Paul says the same thing. It's not what we do on the outside that God looks at, as all human beings does, but it's what is in the inside. St. Paul says the same thing that Jesus is saying when he says, anything done apart from faith is sin. Anything done apart from faith is sin. See, we look at the results and the consequences of people's inner thought and turmoil resulting in something, and we say, that's good or that's bad. But God looks at the heart. If it is done without the love of God and the Word of God, which is faith, right? Faith grasps God's Word and loves God in faith. If it comes from anything but that, it is displeasing to God and it is sinful. What does that mean? It means no matter what a sinner directs his heart towards, if it is not God, if it is not based in God, it is sin. And so in our world, we see people who love virtue, and we see people who hate, who love corruption, love thievery, pornography, all kinds of wicked things. But they, to God, are the same. The person who loves and pursues human virtue is a sinner. That virtue that he is pursuing fills his heart where God ought to be. And therefore, the virtue that he loves apart from God is an idol. It is displeasing to God because God loves us and he says he is a jealous God and he doesn't want our hearts going to anything, even virtue, than him. To him, the love of virtue in a sinner is as bad as the love of pornography in an open sinner, because both of them are based in the sinful human flesh and in the desires of man that are apart from God, and apart from God, being apart from God. How in the world can a person ever hope to please God when he puts other things before God? We are not talking here about political love. We're not even talking about teenage infatuation kind of love, but we are talking about the love of eternal God that is utterly serious. He loved us. That's why he created us. and being tainted by sin, we do not love him back. But instead, as St. Paul says in Ephesians, we pursue the lusts of our flesh, whatever our heart lends itself to, whether it's relationships, whether it's our children, whether it's our spouse, whether it's our parents, whether it's our desire for money and advancement, all of them, apart from God, are merely fleshly lusts, and they will not fill us with satisfaction. This is why we are children of the devil, according to our flesh. That is why we have in our human hearts the wrath of the devil in our hearts. Because the devil wants something he can never have. The devil wants to be God and never can be God. And that's the source of his wrath, his frustration, and his railing. It is the motivation of all he does in darkness, because he wants to be God and cannot. And we, his children, according to our flesh, therefore seek our satisfaction in all kinds of things that cannot satisfy us. And we are frustrated, and we have wrath, we have anger, we have disappointment, all because the desires of our hearts are not fulfilled and never can be. That's why we must first, if we're going to be Christians, realize that our life in this world is death. Our life in this world is death because it is dominated by the sins of our flesh, that is dominated by the lie that the devil put into us, that we can be satisfied with things besides God, our Creator, and our loving Father. And therefore, we are under curse. We are under death. We are under sin. If we do not come to this point, we have not yet begun to be a Christian and to become a believer. We must be born again. Jesus says, as Moses raised the snake in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. Did you hear that? Not death, but may have eternal life. As human life in this world is death and darkness, God himself became the Son of Man. God himself entered into human history and entered even into our human family. He entered into the heritage of the dead race of Adam and brought life and immortality to light through his gospel. God, who hates sin and cursed sinners, came into the curse and death of sin and bore it for us sinners. Blessed is the man who has learned that this life in this world is death, because if we accept that fact, that life in this world is death, God has buried at the bottom of death a jewel that we can find. If we avoid that fact that we are cursed because of sin, we will never find the treasure, because the treasure is buried under the curse. And when we in sin bear our curse, we find it as the thief in the cross found it in his curse next to him. And we find it next to us in our sin, bearing our sin, bearing our curse, bearing our death. It is Jesus. And he is here with us in that sin and death. Buried under God's wrath is his blessing. And that blessing is Jesus Christ, who bore it for us. And that's the sweetness of the gospel and the Christian life. That I, as a cursed sinner, have a blessing in my curse. I have life in my death. It's in the death of Jesus Christ that I find God. And there he is gracious, loving, and forgiving to me. And that's why the gospel, the death of Jesus Christ for our sins, is a stench to the world. It stinks to unbelievers. They don't want anything to do with that, because they avoid death, they avoid the curse, they avoid the sin, and therefore they cannot find the blessing. But blessed are we when we learn of our death and sin and find the rescue that we have in Jesus Christ. If you are that believer, then the smell of the gospel is not a stench in our nose the way it is to an unbeliever, but it is the aroma of life. It is the baked bread of heaven that we know that we, if we eat of this bread, we will have eternal life in God's Son, Jesus Christ. And this is what we receive in our baptism. Not a righteousness that is better than average. Not a righteousness that looks down its nose at other people and makes ourselves feel better because we're better than those other people. It is a complete and full righteousness that comes from God and our brother Jesus Christ. That he wore our flesh and wore a robe of righteousness and shares that righteousness with us. That's what we receive in our baptism. For as many of us as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ and put on his righteousness. And that tells us that we love death. We love death because of Jesus. We love Jesus' death because we have been incorporated and born again into his death. Because being born again into his death, we are born again to be raised again, to live another life, to be with him beginning in this life. As we love God and as our sanctification begins in this life and we love him and we want to serve him, though imperfectly in this life, we look forward to that better life. That's why we rejoice to look at our sins and see how deep they are so that we can know the depth of God's love for us who bore them for us and we are cemented with Christ. He takes our sin and death and gives us righteousness and life. And that's the glue that keeps us together with Christ and keeps us together as a congregation of Jesus Christ, our Lord. But we're looking forward to a better day. We are called in Scripture as the church, the bride of Christ. And every believer must think this way. I'm getting ready for a wedding. I'm getting ready to leave my father's house, the house of Adam, in order to go and live with my beloved's family in heaven, to be with his father and to live under his kingdom, to live under his roof, to be united with him forever. And I've got to be ready for that. How do we become prepared for that? By the ministry of Jesus. That in our baptism and in our confession of our sin, in our receiving forgiveness for our sin, as we receive in the bread and wine the body and blood of our Lord, we are being prepared for the wedding feast. So that when we get there on the day of resurrection, we will glow as the sun. People will see us not as the sinners that we are now. God will not see us as the sinners that we are now, but as the perfect bride of Christ that will be taken into his household to have joy with him forever, the wedding feast of the kingdom of God. Cursed and disappointed for eternity is the person who leaves behind that sanctification, who promises his heart and his life to Jesus Christ and then goes off and lives with the world, loves the world, is enchanted by the world, woos the world. They will not be welcomed in eternity. But blessed is the person who continues to wash his robes and make them white in the blood of the Lamb. They shall, by God's grace and the power of his gospel and forgiveness, have everything that they want in this world. Because the only thing that a believer wants in this world is to be with his Savior, to be with his Lord, to be with the one who has loved him and given his life for him. May that be the light of your life, and may the Holy Spirit keep you in faith, that that might always be your light in this life and in the life to come. Amen.